Okay, this is 9 October. This is the treasurer's report on property taxes and payment plans.
They saw that dollar sign in their eyes.
Morning.
Good morning.
What's the name of this?
Property taxes.
Paper plans.
Paper plans.
Mic's on.
Exactly. All right. Gentlemen.
Good morning. I'm Michael Fish. I'm the Tax Services Manager for the Treasurer's Office. Coming here today, there was an inquiry from the board earlier in 2013 talking about or inquiring to say what's the Treasurer's Office ability to accept monthly or partial payments. So we've kind of come a long ways since then. We've done a lot of research and review into what that looks like. So today's agenda, we're going to discuss a little bit about how the laws change and how we're now authorized to take these monthly payments per RCW. We'll give you a little background information, go through some of the things that we've experienced in talking with the other counties, describe what our potential options are for accepting property tax payments monthly, and then provide our recommendation and submit a request to the board saying, you know, look, let's look at where the legislation might go, what we might need to invest in the future.
And to go forward, I think I understand what we have done so far addresses current taxes but not delinquent taxes. Is that correct? So we have a payment plan for
no. The law allowed for prepayment of property taxes, and Representative Moeller added the delinquent piece. So that gives us the authority to do that. But that would be done electronically with people. But we wanted to make sure that we had a system to be able to handle that. And that's through the discussion because of the legislation. It was going to change the dynamics of a program that would just deal with prepayments. And so we wanted to be able to do prepayments and delinquent payments. And so that's why we wanted to have to wait further until the legislation passed and we're able to have a look at it from a more comprehensive approach. And that's what we're presenting to you today.
Correct.
You should be aware, though, that this legislation was written in a way that this legislation was written in a way that is treasurers may do this, not shall do this.
But it gives us the authority to have that option where we did not have that in the past.
Perfect. So what can we do now?
All right. Well, let me just walk you through a few basics just to give you the full background on this. We'll keep it brief. I think this should be pretty much a mutual understanding here, and we'll do the best we can moving forward. So with that said, the Senate bill that was passed does authorize us to take the monthly payments for both delinquent and current taxes, but there are some exceptions. So if you're taking delinquent monthly payments, the taxpayer must also stay current on their current year taxes. So that is a little hiccup, and you know that may lead to a lower adoption of this payment plan. With respect to current taxes, the taxes are still due April 30th and October 31st in full for the first and second half payments. So if you think about that from a monthly payment plan, that's going to be more difficult to implement a solution like that if taxes are still due in full by April 30th. It doesn't give the taxpayer, let's say, a 12-month payment plan to pay for their full year taxes. So that's basically what we're left with, or where we stand with the law today.
Well, it's 12 months, isn't it? It just starts, so they're due October 30th or 31st?
They're still due October 30th in
right.
full.
And then so they're due every 6 months, right?
They are, but what's the first payment for 6 months? You're going to have to project.
One-sixth of the half amount.
But we don't know it.
25%.
We don't know it.
Right.
And when the bill that you're going to get 14. Uh-huh. We don't know the bill until the middle of January when the tax roll is put together.
So there's no way they can make a November and December payment?
Unless we project.
Okay. Well, can you do that? Can you estimate?
We can, but
all of the escrow accounts estimate an amount that will be due, and then they either credit it back or they say you need to pay more.
actually they call us and we tell them what it is.
Right, but then the mortgage, you know, the people that mortgage, they say, well, if we didn't take away enough,
yeah. You know. It might be beneficial if we went through the thing.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so once we got a better understanding of what this is going to look like from a legislative standpoint, we spoke with the other counties to kind of see what they were doing since the laws changed. We found that currently there's three other counties that are accepting current payments, and they've had less than a 1% adoption rate in that form of payment option. We've looked at the ones that do have delinquent payment plans in place, and those are pretty few and far between. I mean, we're talking, most of them you can count on both your hands. So there hasn't been that high adoption rate. We went to speak to our collection rate for our current taxes. They're still at a very high rate. Even we're at 97.3%. dating back to 2003, and that includes a couple recession years where our collection rates dipped below 97%, down to 96%. So our current tax system, as Doug mentioned, doesn't facilitate that or automate that process of creating a tax bill, doing the estimated taxes for the first couple months of a new payment plan for November, December. We would have to take on that work manually. And if we need to, we can, but we want to recognize that that is a manual process and it's going to take resources to do that. And we want to make sure that we're doing what benefits the masses of our constituents and not just only a few. But we can handle those agreements off to the side. So when I say it doesn't handle that functionality, it can't do that first amortization for the future year taxes. We can do that based on an escrow amount. We do that for mobile homes. If you sell your mobile home and you have to pay next year's taxes before it's moved, we collect at 125%, and then if there's an overcollection based on what the taxes are assessed, then we give the customer the refund. But that's how it works today. So we asked the vendor what would it take to fix the system or make the system more automated. It included three things: creating a payment schedule, like we were talking about for the current year taxes, creating a new or an enhanced escrow account to help us automate this process, and looking at our existing payout agreement modules, which we use for our water utility districts and our county road improvement districts. So how can we make this thing fly through the system, let the system do the work, keeps us from having to get in that monitoring accounts one by one, kind of off to the side, and keep us efficient? So that estimate came back from True Automation, our tax system vendor, at $120,000. So our next thought was, let's share this cost with the other Washington PAX counties and see if we can get an agreement to move forward with this functionality. At that point, the treasurer said, we don't think there's going to be that much of an adoption. We don't want to invest that amount of money at this point in time. We want to just go ahead and do this work manually. And then at some point where the law changes or we have to do business differently, then we could look at enhancing the system.
That's because it's so few after using it, you can do it manually.
Correct.
I was kind of thinking along the line that we would continue to improve the process to get more people to pay taxes.
Agreed. I think that's almost a different avenue versus monthly payments. I mean, we're talking about what are the payments option to our constituents so that they can make their payments easily. We're looking at e-presentation right now and online payments to enhance our next generation to say customer can come in, and if they are taking monthly current payments, that they can schedule them through this new vendor. Get the bill, schedule their payments, have them completed by April 30th and October 31st. It kind of puts the power in the customer's hand, and it keeps us out of the business of managing those one-off relationships with each customer.
Because in a sense, we're managing those individual taxpayers. We're helping them with their finances and managing their financial affairs. And how much, you know, it's sort of a philosophical thing of how much does government want to be there to manage them? And there's other options that people do have. They could set up a bank account and put money aside to every month and earn their interest and then pay their taxes.
Well, and also remember, is it fair that the 97.3% of people who pay their taxes on time in a current basis have to pay some proportionate share to help those who can't make that payment?
Well, I know we have a program where some people can work off their taxes here. How many people do we have in that program?
We currently have one employee or taxpayer in our office alone.
But the number of departments that do use that, I think there usually is a mailing of about 3,000 or 4,000, something like that, that go out. But not everybody wants to participate. Not everybody can because they have issues. They may be have an exemption, but they may have a sight issue or walking issue or something
I think
else.
We have some in the clerk's office, and I didn't know what that total number of people that we have in that program. I kind of relate that back to you use the term of having them work with a third party. So I think the third party pays their taxes, and then they work it off. So how does that program work?
That's a senior tax exemption work-off program that the commissioner's funding in your budget. And it's worked through the HR, and we provide some of the data for that happen. It actually goes through our temporary services. So we're actually just the county through that finance a very small budget amount that you have. They basically work through the temp agency and your budget. Funds them to do that work. So in theory, they're getting a check. I mean, they're getting a check, but in theory, they're supposed to be using that check. And it's calculated based on a certain percentage of the county's portion of what they pay. There's a formula. And so they have so many hours that they sign up for to work, and they get actually a paycheck. So that, in theory, is supposed to be offset what they need to pay in their taxes for the county portion of their taxes.
Yeah, I wonder how many people we have done that, because we talked about fairness. We give them somebody a job that we probably don't need.
We make that fair, though, and equitable from the standpoint of everybody that qualifies for that program gets notification that they can utilize that program. And no taxing district, and not even the county, is out any money for having done that. Because you're getting it all back in the payment of the tax.
It appears that any of the monthly payment or the regular payment scheduling is not practical. Anything that benefits 5 or even 10% of the citizens that cost a substantial amount of work and money to do that is not worth our time to do so. Rather than focus on that, I'm interested in making the payment method online, electronically, available.
It currently is, but we're in the process. We have an RFP out there right now that would allow us to... would allow us to e-bill the payment to the bill to the person. And then we actually have two programs right now. One you can pay online via Doxo, where the bill is actually already sent to you, and you can pay by ACH for free. Okay, and there's no cost to that. We have another option, a firm called Paymentus, where once you know what you want to pay, you tell them. You can pay by credit card. That costs you, the taxpayer, 2.39%. That fee goes to Paymentus. We don't get that. We just get our tax payment. And you can pay on that line, that same venue, ACH, but they charge $1 for the ACH.
I would think that, so you're already pursuing for a no-cost ACH kind of a way that electronically people can pay. I would think that would be...
We've asked for that in RFP, whether or not we get a vendor that agrees to that. Other than Doxo, I'm not certain.
In Doxo, we do pay a fee for the processing of that. So,
however, in that, he's right, we do pay a fee for them to sign up with Doxo, but we pay less than paying for the printing of the tax statement and the mailing of the tax statement. So the county is saving money in that arrangement.
Okay. So you're already on it.
We've been doing it for years.
Providing smarter choices that cost less money, that streamline the process.
Right.
Move us into
right. And Doug is wanting to go to this barcode thing where the younger folks who use mobile phones a lot better than, I do, can scan that
QR code
and make a payment on the phone just like that.
Is there a charge for...
That I don't know.
Well, the QR code, there is not. That would be work with our... you still would have that third-party vendor who is taking that payment, and they ATH charge $1. So it's $1 for that, or you pay the 50 cents or whatever that you pay to put it in the mail. So it depends. You get it right there with your receipt, and you know it takes seconds, literally, versus worrying about the mail.
Okay, so you've got a couple options in the works that you're pursuing already. When do you have an expectation for that to bring back to the board?
Well, I'm not sure we'd bring it back to the board. We already have those two programs I just discussed in activity. Paymentus has been there for 2 years.
Yeah, we've had other vendors.
And Doxo has been there for at least a year and a half. So those things are already working. This new RFP for e-billing, e-payment is out there. And we'll see how that fits into what we're doing. But we're also trying to make that broader for, like, animal control and other folks' permits.
Agreed.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So that RFP for e-billing and payment is something that could be just the a method for citizens to pay for whatever the bill is for
right.
the county.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
that's in the works. And so is that something that you're just simply... and you don't need authorization to do that. I mean, it sounds like it's not going to cost, it's going to save the county, and it's not going to cost the citizens any more than a buck.
Individual departments may have to come back to you to determine how they want to pay for this service. So if it costs a buck or 2.5% for the credit card fee, they may come back to you and ask things like, well, you know, on taxes, people complain about the 2.39%. Now, the 2.39%, we can't charge that in the county. We can't absorb it unless you want to, and then it would be a general fund absorption, and you're going to be paying for the school districts and the fire districts and the cities because we're going to give them the full amount. So the law actually prohibits us from taking for taxes,
but there might be some business decisions that you
permits
want to make.
You might say, okay, we'll absorb it like restaurants do or hotels do. Yeah, you know.
So the RFP for the e-billing and payment that is for something that involves a surcharge, a percentage of the payment, or is there some version of that doesn't end up costing the customer a percentage?
For property taxes, it will include a surcharge.
Percent?
Yeah, a percent. And the current one's 2.39.
It's Visa's charge. It's money going to Visa.
But I would not think you'd want to pay 2.7% on a thousands of dollar bill.
We're collecting right now around, we don't get that fee, but we're collecting around $1.5 million tax season by people paying from credit cards.
Sure, I'm not really that concerned about us, what we're paying. What I'm thinking is what the
taxpayer pays that. The
so
citizen pays that.
In other words, the convenient way that a citizen can pay online or some electronic method that doesn't involve some percentage. That would be, I would think.
Visa is not going to let you do that.
No,
for a dollar.
You have out is for a buck charge using ACH.
Yeah, you got
$1. That would be a new service It doesn't charge a percentage.
We already have a service.
Right.
That charges $1 for ACH.
Okay.
And a service, that same service charges 2.39% for the use of a credit card. And credit cards are actually the most expensive way you can pay a bill. And it's true in a restaurant too. Because the price for you to pay cash just went up. Because they're going to cover that transaction fee through volume.
So we have someone that charges 1%?
$1.
$1.
For ACH, not credit card. ACH is where you tell the vendor what your bank account number is, and they go directly into your bank account and take the money.
So debit card and credit card, you get charged because it goes through the Visa system.
Oh, okay.
And for Doxo, we do pick up the charge there of 25 cents.
And that's the citizen's choice. I mean, yeah. So we have a choice that doesn't charge them a percentage, but they got that money in their bank account to be able to cover that. If they don't, if they're paying by credit card, there's a fee that goes to Visa.
Yeah, right. They're borrowing the money from Visa.
And so, like with building permit, if you wanted to do that, there would be potentially a choice. The choice would be, does the building fund want to absorb the credit card fee like a restaurant does, or do you want to charge the customer that's using it relative to the fairness of the person that's paying by cash?
So the ACH method that costs a dollar basically says it's a direct transfer from their account to the county's account. Right?
It's a direct transfer from their account to the vendor's depository account. They then strip out their dollar and send us the taxes.
Okay.
Or the fee, whatever that you have collected. Yeah.
I assume you have a version of, we have a version of that that's in place now. What do you call it?
It's called Paymentus.
Paymentus.
And there's also a version called Doxo. With Doxo, you have to register with them. With Paymentus, you do not.
Okay, so Paymentus costs about the customer about.
Mm-hmm.
And it just would be an electronic transfer basically from their account. They don't have to set up a special account. They can say, here's my checking account. Here's who's supposed to get the money. But it's attracted in the process, and basically, and it's an electronic way. It's just go from point A to point B.
Correct.
Why wouldn't we use that for everything?
Well, we actually are using that similar thing, not necessarily Paymentus, but the courts use Point and Pay.
Yeah, Point and Pay.
Right.
And the sheriff does.
And the sheriff uses Point and Pay. What we're trying to do is, does it make sense to have a vendor who has all this, group of service
volume?
Can we get a better price with this volume added together under one contract instead of having unique little contracts for each of our departments?
You know, talking about under transaction,
right? We're also looking at how do we improve our adoption rate? How do we make this easier for our constituents? One of the things that we've asked for is to do the absorb pricing model where it's free for an e-check to the customer, and we're already seeing the vendors coming back and giving us, like Doxo does, we'll only charge you a quarter. Because we know from our banking perspective, an ACH costs us 10 cents or less. So they're making a spread still. They're covering the cost of doing their business, and we're reducing our costs because capturing this electronically is a lot easier than getting checks at a remittance center and or customers paying at our front counter.
And or printing bills.
The Paymentus method sounds like, or what is the total cost of everything that we end up with, everything minus the butt, right? And it can cover everything we set up that way, right? So why wouldn't we adopt that as our method and just simply say it's going to, we'll just simply eat the buck?
Because there's more to it than just having the vendor that'll do that. How does the vendor system tie into the existing systems that the county has? Like, Paymentus has to tie in through an interface with our property tax system. they're going to have to do the same for the courts, the same for other systems, animal control. So how do we get all that done so Paymentus itself doesn't offer those other actions at this moment?
So Paymentus doesn't provide the interface. I would think that that would be the first thing they would do. They would not only provide the interface for the user, but they have the interface that would tie into automated accounting systems on the other end.
But we have upwards of 9 different systems you're going to have to tie into. So I can't write their business plan. They write it. That's why we're doing the RFP and why we're trying to be more inclusive of all these other departments to say, what will you, Paymentus? What will you, Point and Pay, provide?
Sure. And I understand that we could hold off and wait till we have an RFP to say you've got to cover all of these other retrofits to make sure that it just simply is all or nothing. Or we could say, what do you have that can cover the bulk of our expenses? We'll start with that one first. And then see what else can move for without requiring the conversion of everything else. In other words, just get the job done if we can't get that. Get the most benefit bang for the buck.
Well, we anticipate. When do we anticipate this to?
We hope to. We have 2 finalists selected for the RFP right now. We're setting up our vendor demonstrations and our reference checks calls for those. So we hope to conclude that during the month of October. Contract negotiation into November. If we're done with that before Christmas holidays, then we're looking like we could be on pace to have a solution in place before our first half tax payments are due, and which would be a great win for us.
And that sounds good, and certainly that's a positive direction. But I just wonder if we're somehow only asking for the expensive Cadillac version that's making the job very big and making it a long time to implement and involving a lot. And because, for instance, let's say you're going to have a mechanical drawing for a product you really have that design. Quote it out, and you can take all the other drawings and say, you know, I want that as part of the package. So they give you a price tag and says, well, man, look at the cost of this thing, how long it's going to take. And they say, well, if you would have just asked for this, we could have given it to you the next day, it would have cost you a lot. So really, the making sure that we're communicating in a way, the opportunity for those to participate in a way that informs us a smarter ways we haven't asked for, that can pare it down so that we can implement things much shorter, much lower cost, much more convenient without asking for the moon.
And I don't think we are asking for the moon. I think we are trying to do it in exactly the way you're talking about. And our demonstrations will hopefully indicate to us whether or not the 2 vendors we are sort of favoring right now can do this over time, and how we might work that into some kind of a time schedule so that all the departments understand, here's what we're trying to do and here's a mechanism for you to use. But it may not all be the big bang.
Sure. I would think anytime we put out an RFQ, we have some kind of a ballpark of what we expect. Mm-hmm. See what I mean?
What we expect is for them to be able to do property taxes right now.
I mean, the cost. Do you have an idea about what kind of prices you're going
to buy? It's going to be nothing to us as far as we're concerned. It's going, for us on property taxes, it's going to be the cost to the citizen.
Well,
or the, no cost.
Their cost is, their cost, where they're going to get their, well, how they're going to get paid is by setting us up and having the transactions. So, for us, it's all on them to provide it with no cost to us.
Well, right now it's $6, right?
Yeah. So I mean, the cost will be us working with them, with our IT staff and folks to be cooking all the integration with GIS. So, I mean, there is a soft type cost, but not a
for property taxes with Paymentus. There is no cost to the county. The cost is to the citizens. $1 for ACH, 2.39% for credit card, Visa or MasterCharge. On Doxo, the cost is, I believe, 25 cents account and no cost to the citizen. But we save printing of the tax bill and postage of the tax bill.
Okay, so what are we expecting, let's say, the request for a proposal? We're expecting that's going to cost them, right?
We want to do a better job of being able to provide you with the bill electronically versus not electronically.
Got that. The question is, when they come back with a proposal, are they expecting that there's going to be a cost for that proposal, or is it just going to say this is what we can do?
We are off track, but...
Yeah, I want to get convinced left.
We can do this. How about if we invite you, Commissioner Mador, to the demonstrations?
I'd be happy to participate in that.
All right.
Yeah. It's setting up the scope, but we're going to start slow and then add folks as we go along.
So John, this electronic billing system, you have my email. I get my tax bill in my email. Presumably, there's a link I can click on to pay it.
Right.
And then I can do that using a number of methods, potentially ACH, credit card.
Right.
That's no paper.
Pretty much every other.
That's the only other two.
Bill you pay does now, and they give you a paperless option, and so
correct.
You just get it. You get your bills.
And there's no cost to the county. There would be a cost, but we're not mailing. We're not paying. Right. 29 cents for postage. We're not printing anything. No envelopes. No nothing.
Right.
All right. So
let's go.
Payment options. You have a couple of options. Payment plan options. You kind of explain what was already available and what's available now, and kind of the potential costs associated with a couple of different methods to deal with this. So once you finish that up and figure out.
Certainly. We looked at this as two options. Option one is to accept our delinquent payments. And again, we would do that manually. We would say, okay, let's look at the number of agreements that we're participating with our taxpayers with. Option two was to actually look at enhancing our product further. That way we could offer current payments in addition to delinquent payments and have it a little more efficient through our back end of our tax system. But we are recommending option one at this point in time. There's a couple considerations with that. We think we can take the delinquent payments. We think that when we receive those payments, we can distribute them all the way through to the tax bills owing. That being said, we expect there to be some upfront costs of doing this business, setting up the amortization schedules, saying here's your 12 months of payment, here's the additional amount that you need to keep your current taxes payment as well, or current taxes paid. And ultimately, we're basically saying, sorry, I lost my train of thought completely. You guys rattled me today, darn it. I wouldn't like to admit that normally.
Well,
but
that's correct. What we're planning on doing, I think, is we're going to send out a PDF file to the taxpayers that decide they want to do this that gives them the instructions about how they can participate in the program. We want to be able to assess a $75 fee to doing this to cover our costs associated with doing this. They have to enter into this payment agreement, and their current year taxes must be paid when they're due. Once they've been accepted into the program, their first payment will include that $75, but then it will be an equal payment thereafter. And if you miss a payment, you're out of the program, and we're not going to follow up with you. So if you don't pay us, we're just going to take you out of the program, and you'll be back into the foreclosure process. That way it will keep us from having to spend a lot of time manually tracking what one county that's doing this has 8 people on it. But let's say it gets successful here and we get more than 8 people. If we get 50 people, then we're going to analyze our costs and come back to you and suggest that we have to have some either alternative process where you give us some money for some staff, a staff person to do just this, or you pay the $120,000 to have TA fix the system.
It allows us to do it electronically. Because monthly payments, it's expansion fold of transactions. And so what we're trying to do, if we get into that mode, and eventually it could happen. I mean, you never know. And especially if there's another larger county that decides to join the PACS program, they may want to do that too. So it may come down the road to do that. We have one county that is interested in doing something, but I don't. Everybody comes from a different viewpoint, and so. But for us, in terms of being the largest county in the PACS program, and trying to do things as most efficiently as possible, it would require us to look at being much more flexible at being able to take payments and take them quickly and efficiently through electronic process. And that's just the nature of where the future is going, so we need to plan for that.
The other caveat is that the legislature could change the language from may to shall. And if they change it to shall, then we probably have a little bit better leverage to work with the other counties to try and get this shared cost.
I would think that if we're only talking about single digits or double digits for the number of participants in this, not worth it. Why would we put so much work to handle something that would be actually sounds like less work just to handle it like we are now?
Well, there may be
other
programs that are out there too that might create more of a demand, but we don't know at this point.
I think option three would be drop it. Well, actually, I think there's
a lot more than that. You must have a lot of people who are delinquent and back taxes, or else I just have the role model. So I mean, when you say 50, maybe 50 people, I think I know that many in North County who's behind. And I was hoping that we would have a way to allow them to start making payments as they could. And I think the understanding I have is that they couldn't make their payments and they couldn't get into a program unless they were current. While they had some money, they didn't have enough to make a half payment, but they had the money to apply to delinquent taxes.
Well, the law actually requires for you to participate in the delinquent process to be current on your current year.
And so most of it, I think, goes back, and Arthur Young kind of put that back on our treasurer. That's the shall part, or our main part.
Main part.
And so under the main part, we're looking for some way to not let someone just get buried farther and farther and farther until someday we end up taking the property to sell it to get our money. But we must, I assume, that we would still charge an interest on the unpaid balance.
Yeah, we have to.
But is that?
It's 1% a month.
1%.
That's 12% a year.
By law, though. Well,
that's
credit cards are worse. I believe I just missed a payment. There is a deadline, and things have to be cleaned up within 3 years, period, by statute. So they got that time period to work it out. This allows you a little more flexibility because they still could have done that by paying 1 year at a time. We still could do it. But once you're in the foreclosure and we got 40 people in that right now, 40 months.
That means 40 people, 3 years delinquent.
But for 40 properties. So they're in the foreclosure process, and they have to pay it all at this point in time. They don't have that flexibility of paying 1 year to get cleaned up. So it just allows a little more flexibility in terms of some type of ways that you can pay it to get by. But it was... it required that the legislature was very clear. They didn't want, they wanted to get people caught up. They didn't want to keep dragging this over and over again. And so you got to keep that current year paid up. I mean, that was one of the key things to get the legislation passed and out of committee, was that you have to have the current year and then work on that delinquent year.
That's my problem. I don't think that what we have done so far really addresses the problem and helps people in delinquency get back on track.
Yeah. Also, remember that the folks that are usually in foreclosure, I mean, we're sort of one of the last problem bills that they have. They have usually a lot of others before they get to us, because ours is quite substantial. I don't know any case, but they all have had other bills and problems. And again, people are in foreclosure, it's lost a job. Healthcare is the second main reason. Divorces, family feuds are another one. Brothers and sisters fighting over property. Those are the reasons why people wind up in this circumstance. And bankruptcy is in there, but that's sort of a cause of those other issues.
Yeah, I think they were aware of how people can get behind. We just have to find a solution to help them get paid up.
It may not help that many. There may not be that many people that take advantage of the flexibility of making payments. But you know, I've definitely heard from constituents who say, "Hey, I even tried to make a payment on it, and they wouldn't accept it. You know, it got sent back to me because it wasn't the right amount." And that's true. So for them to be able to actually, you know, pay what they have, make a payment, get caught up. You know, even if it only helps a dozen of our constituents, that's a dozen more people who are still in their homes, getting back straightened out, and you know, back on track. Then the question becomes, how much does it take in resources to help that number of people? And then that's where you will inevitably have to come back to us and say, all right,
yeah. If we got up to 50,
much, this is the
we'll
people
be back.
Help, and this is how much we're spending on it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, because
I get a little concerned with the 12% or the 1% a month. I mean, that is almost as bad as credit cards.
Well, that's statutory. That's statutory. Yeah. In addition to that,
maybe that's what we should go back and adjust.
Well, or go back and adjust the fact, like Oregon does, that if you pay early and you pay it all, you get a discount.
Yeah, but there's other tricks of the trade, which they do on that.
Fees? Are there fees assessed?
There's a penalty on June 1st if you haven't met your current year deal, you get a 3% penalty.
So if you put them on a payment plan, would they avoid the penalty?
No.
Why not?
That's because delinquent. That's delinquent. And remember, you have to be current on your current year.
Don't have flexibility in that?
That's a statute.
And
on December 1, there's an additional 8% added.
It takes a year. We're talking about people who haven't paid their taxes for
This is an incentive to pay so that you can provide the services you need to provide and pay for them.
Now, you could do a prepayment if they want to set up a program.
Is it easier for us to foreclose and then collect away the foreclosure?
Because the worry is that it pushes them further behind, right? I mean, that it pushes them, like, they say, okay, I'm trying to get this paid off, and you say, hey, now you owe me another 3%. Oh, crap, now I'm
further behind. 8%.
Oh, now I got 8%. Oh, crap, now I'm down. And then we're continuing to move the goalposts and make it harder for them to actually get caught up, as opposed to giving them incentives.
It's
the greatest thing in the world to know that you have a penalty, but if you don't have the money to pay it, no incentive in the world is going to help you.
Well, we have to look beyond that, because at one time it depends on where the interest rates are. Right now it's different, but if you're in 1981, when the interest rates were like 15-16%, we had a lot of developers and folks not paying their taxes, using us as the bank, and our delinquency rates were very high at that time. And so the market had the national market has an impact on what we do, and
maybe you might be able to go to the legislature and have that kind of indexed to interest rates, like, you know, the IPD, the you could increase property taxes on the road fund and the general fund by 1%, or the IPD, whichever is lower, and that IPD is generally the lowest interest rate.
And the reason why it didn't happen in the past was because many counties were literally in books. They didn't have computer systems. Now the technology has changed so that those options that John just mentioned are available. I just want to point out one thing, that the reason why we're going to go down this road and why we want to just communicate this with you is that there's really other higher priorities that affect more of our taxpayers and citizens of Clark County that we would want to come back and talk to you about, and that is the point of sale system, our e-REIT system that we're installing, finishing up our property tax system, which is basically going to be done this year, and we're going to be very happy about that. And what we've mentioned here about the e-presentment and online payment program. Those are things that impact more people than the less than a dozen that may be impacted.
We don't know how. We're only telling you what we know from other people, other counties' experiences. We might have, as you think, Commissioner Mielke, a bigger outpouring of that. We're saying we'll do it manually for.
Not just my friend.
Well, they may all be your friends, but up to 50 we'll do under the current arrangement, with $75 being the fee for that.
Very much looking forward to seeing the electronic payments, you know, the e-bill, e-pay stuff, and seeing some of the technological upgrades and integrating those with the other areas of the county business. That's awesome. And
so we
I agree with you, Commissioner Regards, and that's what's going to affect the majority of people. We've got to be mindful of that, and really, and you're right on, Doug, as far as that. We appreciate you being focused on, all right, what are the things that are going to help the majority, but appreciate your flexibility in helping the few people that need a little bit of help as well.
Yeah. So the bottom line on this is that we don't pursue this special, looks like a make work program, but instead to continue to focus on what you just elaborated there is what's already in the works. It's going to save the bulk of the citizens and streamline everything, right?
We agree we'll do
payments for delinquencies, but
well, that. We agree we can do that, but it'll be manual. Yeah.
For up to
50 accounts.
There's no software. There's not manpower.
There's manpower.
And with time that it takes
be
to
manpower.
Track this.
Sure, but not
you'll
recoup that cost.
Yeah, you'd have to come back to us. And if the workload meant that you were needing new staff, then I assume you would come back
yes.
to us and say, this is what we would need to be able to continue
right.
doing
this. Is what it's
this
costing us.
And this is what we're getting for it. And then we have a clear assessment of cost and benefit.
Right.
One more personal request. If you send me the information for qualification for working your taxes off.
Sure. Yeah. That's a good program that you guys do. So I appreciate
it. Work full time. They work for
just hours, up to the.
They can only work the number of hours that their tax bill for the general fund.
Yeah, for the general
allows.
Mine would be almost full time.
Hmm.
My tax would almost be full time.
All right. So okay, we put all this stuff on the grid so that we have a record of it, we can go back to it. I would think it would be relevant to this would be an example copy of a property tax statement or bill that would show how you would pay your bill electronically.
We actually already put that out there.
We have this thing called the grid, a special location where we ought to have the link as well.
Oh.
One stop shopping for all documentation.
Oh, on the website?
Yeah, on our piece of the website. We have a grid with all of the materials that we get in work sessions and all of the work that we're doing, so citizens can say, well, what are the commissioners talking about? They can get information and link directly to the information that we saw as well. So wherever it is on your website, we need that link on our grid.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's actually timely because here at
you've heard the grid.
October,
we're due.
And we have by the end of the month, it'd be good for the people to say, how do I pay my property bill electronically?
Yeah.
There it is right there.
Okay. Is this something new on your website?
It's been there a while.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Treasurer. Thank you guys.